Sometimes in life, things get dark. We can't see the path. We can't see the end. We can't see what we're supposed to be doing and what direction God wants us to go in. And it gets hard because we spend a lot of time in that space wondering, is this right? Am I going the right way? Am I doing the right thing? And then sometimes we'll think, well, if I open up God's Word, I'll know what's right. And yes, that's true. But sometimes we get into a space, or at least I've gotten into a place, where I open up God's Word and I can see both directions. And I wonder, okay, God, I opened up your Word looking for direction on which way to go. And I can see you leading me this way or this way. Can you give me just an exact answer? But God gives us freedom of will, free choice. He wants us to love Him out of our own choice. And so if He plants a path that this is the only way for you to go, then He's taking away your free choice, your free will. So He's already in a position where He knows what choice we're going to make. But He's also wise enough to know that I'm going to leave this option open for you, because God is powerful enough and smart enough to be able to lead us no matter which way we go. So let's do a story. So I'll share with you what I was doing last night, or this morning, all day yesterday. How many of you have ever paid for plow, somebody to come and plow your property? How many of you have added up what it costs you per year? How many of you have thought, well, if I buy a cheap truck and a plow, I can save some money? Well, I thought that for a few years. And I bought a cheap truck, which needs continual work because I bought a cheap truck. And I bought a used plow to put on it, which I didn't realize until I went to put it on it, that it's missing some parts. Turns out it's missing some crucial parts. So me and my nephew yesterday and into the morning, we're trying to figure out how to put this together, because Friday evening my wife said to me, well, it looks like we're going to get about 18 inches of snow between Sunday and Monday. So are we going to hire a plow person? Or are we going to plow it ourselves? So, new deadline. Got to get the plow on. So we Googled how to wire this with missing pieces, how to bypass pieces. I modified the frame of the truck because the plow doesn't fit the truck. I built new brackets, bought new bolts. Around 2 o'clock in the morning, I got the push plates. If you know what they are, that's the part that mounts to the frame that the plow goes into. I got that assembled into the truck. We got all the wiring put together according to the way the wiring diagram said that everything was supposed to work. Hooked it all up, pushed the button, nothing. Lord God, is this the way I'm supposed to go? Was I supposed to spend these last 15 hours working on this vehicle to plow? Why isn't this working? Lord, I've been praying up until this day that this would all go together and that you would bless me and it would all miraculously fit together and work. Did you hear my prayer? How come it's not working? 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm tired, Lord. I want to go to bed. But I don't know how I'm going to move all this snow that's supposed to be coming. Is this the right way? Is this the right direction? Is this going to work, God? So, okay, this is only plowing, but what if we change the story to being something that's life-threatening? Plowing's not life-threatening. Snow comes, snow goes. They didn't have plows back in Jesus' day, right? So what if it was something life-threatening? We're praying for it. And God, it doesn't seem to be happening that way. Why, God? Do you hear my prayer? Can you help? What's going on? Sometimes we can't see the answer. Sometimes we can't see the way. But what does God call us to do? No matter what. All through the New Testament, through the Gospels, it talks about faith. No matter what the circumstances are, faith. Jesus constantly commended people about their faith. People who, there was the one lady who Jesus was telling her, no, I'm not going to bless you. I got to bless the Israelites first, right? And she said, but Master, but Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that are left from the children. Right? She's saying, Lord, I'm still one of your children, even though I'm not one of the Israelites. I'm still one of your children. Can't you give me a little crumb? Faith. And what did Jesus say to her? She was asking for healing. She was praying and looking for something from Jesus. And he said, Your faith has brought this for you. Jesus tells us that we will have troubles in this world. It's a guarantee. A lot of times, new Christians come into the church. They see the people who have been in church and been dedicating their life to God, and they see blessings in their life, and they think, these people have no problems in their life. Everything is handled by their God. I want to go to church and I want to be one of those people. And they come into church and they give their heart to Jesus because that's what they're supposed to do when they come in. And so then this gets overlooked. You will have troubles in this world. And the troubles come and they say, what am I doing? This doesn't work for me. I came here thinking everything was going to be solved and everything was going to be taken care of, but it's not. It doesn't work for me. I must not be one of these chosen people. And they leave because troubles came into their life. Sometimes it wasn't trouble coming into their life. It was trouble that was already in their life, but it didn't go away. But either way, they leave. Jesus tells us that we will have troubles in this world. It's a guarantee. However, He also promises that we will have victory through our faith because Jesus Christ has overcome the world. If you are facing hard and uncertain times, you can be encouraged to press on knowing that you are an overcomer. No matter what you face in life, we sang songs, some of them talked about hope. We sang songs that talked about our Savior coming and paying the price for us in advance, knowing that we were still sinners when He was paying the price for us. We're overcomers. We can be encouraged in uncertain times because we know who our Savior is and we know that He's overcome the world, even though we don't know how this situation is going to play out. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Sometimes I'll see somebody asking for prayer. And I've shared stories about this before, but it still happens, and I don't want to share specific stories because it's more about the faith involved than the story. Sometimes I'll see a prayer request come along, and it's a scary request. A lot of times it's life-threatening. And the prayer that comes to my heart is a bold prayer. A prayer that calls for God to do what He's going to do. to save, to heal, to stand out, for His glory to shine. And people sometimes ask me, what are you going to do if God doesn't show up? You just put something out there that people saw or people heard. What are you going to do if God doesn't show up? All those people are going to wonder why God didn't answer that prayer. And in those moments, I think to myself, you know, when I was going through ministry school, I learned about the Holy Spirit. I learned about the book of Acts. I learned about what the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter relied on when they went to people and they said, get up. When they went to somebody who was dead and they reached out their hand to help them up. They knew, and I know, that it's nothing to do with me. It's all about God, power of the Holy Spirit that's inside of each one of us. So when I put these prayers out there, it's not a, God, if you don't show up, people are going to be hurt. That's not what it's about. It's about a confidence in my heart that God is going to reveal Himself in this situation. Because sometimes when I pray for people and they really want their answer, I don't have that same confidence in my heart that God is going to do that miraculous thing. And so I don't pray that prayer. It's hard sometimes to pray a prayer for a person to have confidence and hope in a God who's going to be with them through something versus a prayer of God, heal them. Shine Your glory through this situation. Make them stand up. Make them walk. Make them do whatever. So sometimes it's a bold prayer and sometimes it's not. But it's the Holy Spirit inside of us that leads us to stand on His presence, to stand on His wisdom, to stand on His Holy Spirit, and let Him show us what He wants to do in that time. I started by saying I learned in ministry school. That's what I learned in ministry school. When we pray for somebody, let the Holy Spirit lead you. If you don't have a confidence in your heart that this person's going to walk, that's sitting in a wheelchair, don't pray for him to walk. Because if the Holy Spirit hasn't given you that confidence, it's probably not the time for that. Let the Holy Spirit lead you in what to pray for. But if the Holy Spirit tells you, puts an impression in your heart that this person, no matter what the situation is going to move past it, put that bold prayer out there. Let your faith stand and let God's glory show through that, whatever it is. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. The Holy Spirit is with us. He will never leave you or forsake you. If you put it in your heart, He will follow through with it. Scripture says, if He led you to it, right? It's not quite Scripture. It's an abbreviation of it. If He led you to it, He'll lead you through it. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I don't understand, Lord. I can't see the way. It doesn't make sense. How many times I said early this morning, just this wiring diagram doesn't make sense. Where does this wire go to? How many times in life I've thought, well, this should have helped this person. This should have been the answer for this person. This should have been resolved by now. Lord, I don't understand. This doesn't make sense. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Psalms 34:17-18. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. Pray. The righteous cry out and He hears them. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know you're clothed in His righteousness. That means you're the righteous. Cry out, He hears you. Lift your voice to Him and let your heart be known. He already knows what's in it. He hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. 2 Corinthians 12:9 through 10. But He said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about My weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Earlier I said it's not about me. The Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter, they knew it was not about them. They knew it was all about the Holy Spirit and what God was doing, what He was looking to do, what He was willing to do, what He was planning to do. It was all about the Holy Spirit. And every time and any time anything happened that was miraculous, where did they point? To God. This was all through Jesus Christ. It had nothing to do with me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. There's lots of stuff that's going to come against us. There's lots of people that are going to insult us. There's hardships that are going to happen in our lives. There's times where the money is not going to stretch far enough. But in our weakness, in our times where it just doesn't make it, that's when Jesus comes through. That's when His glory shines. That's when we're reminded that He's with us, that He loves us, that He cares, that He's still there. Despite what we're going through, He's walking through it with us. 1 Peter 4:12 through 13, Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Remember, He said these things are going to happen. Verse 13, But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. Talked about praising God this morning in spite of not understanding, in spite of not being able to see. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. When you see whatever He's about to do happen, whether it be something big or something small, rejoice. Rejoice in what He's doing. Rejoice in seeing His hand move. Praise God. Thank Him. And let people know what you've been able to witness. Why do people come to Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Well, we've already shared some of them want an easier life, but it doesn't happen. But the ones who really give their heart to Jesus as their Savior are the ones that find that He's real. That it's not just a story they heard when they were growing up. But God in heaven is real. And they want that eternity. They want to be with Him. That's when we give our heart to Jesus. When we know that He's real, and we want that truth. 2 Corinthians 1:3 through 4, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, whether it's darkness or whether it's jumping up and down praising God for the miracle we just witnessed, who comforts us in our troubles, so that we may comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God. We shared this not too long ago. Our witness, the times where we've seen God move, is not for us to bury. It's for us to share with those who don't know, those who were weak, those who may know and may be going through a tough time. They need encouragement. Our witness is not for us to bury. Comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, the troubles, the darkness, the difficulties, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. The next one is Philippians 4, 11 through 13. Not that I speak from any personal need, for I have learned to be content and self-sufficient through Christ, satisfied to the point where I am not disturbed or uneasy, regardless of my circumstances. I know how to get along and live humbly in difficult times. And I also know how to enjoy abundance and live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing life, whether well-fed or going hungry, whether having an abundance or being in need. I can do all things which He has called me to do through Him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill His purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. I have noticed in myself within the past 9 months a peace that I can't explain. A peace about whatever is going on in my life. I say all this because Paul said that he has found peace in whatever his situation is. He knows that no matter what he faces, God is going to lead him through it. Paul gets beaten, stoned, left for dead, goes to jail, is on a ship that goes underwater and is destroyed. In everything he has peace because he knows that God is leading him. And he knows when his day comes, that's when God has determined that it's going to come. And he finds perfect peace with whether he stays or whether he goes. Whether he has food today or whether he doesn't. He knows that God has a purpose and is leading him through it. And I have found peace. I found peace that I can't explain. I have no idea what we're going to do for income to pay for what we have. But I know that my God has moved in my life enough to make me realize that He is real. He cares about me. He cares about my family. He interacts in our lives. He responds to our prayers. He has led us to things and through things in the past. And He will lead us through this one too. Wherever you are, know this about your God. He's not going to leave you. Two more. 1 Peter 5:7 through 10. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Whatever you're holding today, whatever anxiety is in your heart, pray. Speak to your Father. Let Him know what you're dealing with. He already knows it, but talk to Him. I have found in times when I've prayed where I've gotten my answer. Sometimes I didn't like what the answer was. I can remember praying one time when when Lisa and I weren't getting along, God, would you just help her to understand what I'm trying to say? And I got my answer to that prayer instantly. And my answer was, you need to hear what she has to say. That's not what I wanted to hear, but it's what I needed to hear. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I hear a lot. Churches don't preach about the devil anymore. And that may be true about some of them, but it's not true about this one. It's not true about God's Word. It tells us that there is evil out there. And it tells us that there's an intent in this evil to knock you down, to steal your hope and your joy, and to get you to walk away. Be alert and of sober mind. Verse 9, resist him, standing firm in faith, because you know that the family of believers through the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Is there any church around that's not dealing with big issues and little issues in it? People who are being hurt, people who are scared, people who are dying, people who are suffering. It's everywhere. Resist him, standing firm in your faith, because you know the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. You're not alone. And you're really not alone, because God is with you, and He will lead you through it. Verse 10, and the God of all grace, remember, grace is getting what you don't deserve. The God of all grace, who called you to this eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you, make you strong and firm and steadfast. We see in Job how he went through all of that. How his friends came around him in the stories that we read about that. And how his wife even said to him, wouldn't you just curse God and roll over and die? Just give up. Your God doesn't love you anymore. Just curse Him and die. But Job doesn't give up. He doesn't give in. The evil that came against him, he didn't give in to it. Sure, he had his moments of struggle, like many of us do as well. But he kept fighting. He kept breathing. He kept standing on what he knew was right. And one day, after he suffered for a little while, God restored him. Romans 5, 3 through 18. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces what? Perseverance. Suffering produces perseverance. No matter what I'm going through, no matter what I'm facing, no matter what things are stacking up against me, when I get through this, I can look back and see that God led me through it. Now I'm facing this, but God led me through that. He'll lead me through this one too. And okay, I got through this one. I don't know how I got through it. It was a complete miracle. But God led me through it, and now I'm facing this. And God got me through those things. And I don't see any way possible for this to work out. But I'm going to keep walking, because I have faith in God. I know that He will lead me through, even though I don't think it's possible. I'm going to put my confidence in who He is and what He can do, because I know that there's nothing impossible with Him. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and that perseverance produces character. You see, once we go through some things and we realize that God is going to lead us through it, it changes who we are. It changes how we act when we're going through things. We're not woe is me, or at least not as much, when we're struggling with something, because we have confidence that God is going to lead us through it like He did before. It changes our character. And when our character changes, so does our hope. We now have hope because we've seen all the things God has done in our lives. We have hope that it can change. We have hope that a healing can come. We have hope that no matter what we're facing, it will be okay. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? We can approach God because of what Jesus Christ did for us. We can pray. We can go boldly to the throne. We can lay our cares, our heartaches, our worries, our fears at the altar, at the cross. We can hand them over to Him. We can pray, Father, I don't understand. I don't see the way. I don't, but You do. Please help me. In spite of being sinners, because of what Jesus Christ did. Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone whose account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass, for if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Doesn't Paul's words get confusing sometimes? And you have to sit down and you have to break them down. Okay, so this is what he's saying. No matter where you are, all men have sinned. All men, all people fall short of the grace of God, fall short of our righteousness. And through the grace of God, we have Jesus Christ's righteousness. We are able to go to Him. We are able to pray. We are able to seek blessings from our Father. We are able to seek restitution. We are able to seek shelter, mercy, because of Jesus Christ, because of what He did for us. So when we sing songs of praise, songs of hope, that's where our praise and our heart comes from. Not through the blessings that we've gotten. And so when we're in times of trouble and times of struggle, we can't praise because life isn't going well. It's not about that. It's about what Jesus Christ did for us that opened the door for us to be able to go to our Heavenly Father. We are no longer separated from God because of our sins. We are restored to Him through Jesus Christ. And that's why we praise. That's why we have hope. That's why we cry out to God no matter what we're facing in life. And so with all of that scripture that was shared today, I hope that you have seen that no matter what you're facing, God's word is filled with scripture. It says, lean on me. I will guide you through it. Call out to me. Rest in me. Lean on me. I will lead you through it. Let's pray. Lord God, we surrender our hearts to You today. There are things that weigh on us. There are things that we don't understand. There's things that we can't see through. Lord God, today we lean on You. Today we place our faith in who you are, and that nothing is impossible for you. Today we look back to the hands that have moved in our life and the time where we recognized that it was you and you became our Savior. We thank you, Lord God, for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for your love and your compassion. We thank you that you came to this world and paid our debt so that we could be restored to you. And so in everything we do and everything we say, let your love, let your mercy, let your glory shine through it. Let your glory shine through our words and our actions, Lord God. Let your glory stand out when we interact in someone else's life, Lord God. Let your glory shine through. As we travel about throughout this week, Lord God, I also ask for your blessing upon each person in our fellowship, Lord God. Please keep them safe. Please keep them healthy. And please continue to draw us to you. When our day comes, help us to be right with you. In your mighty name, Lord Jesus, I ask this and thank you. Amen.